Well, good morning. If you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 25 through to 34. This is a part of the Bible where Jesus is talking to a gathered crowd in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 8, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active today. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn from it. And I just pray this morning that you would just quieten our hearts and make us ready to listen and to learn from you. Help us to know what it is you want to teach us this morning, Lord. Would we not sit here and be unchanged by you moving amongst us? Father, I ask that you simply take away everything that's only of me and leave that which is of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, apparently there are 366 places in the Bible where it says something along the lines of do not fear or do not worry. I haven't counted them, but I'm told that is a number. And so for every day, even of a leap year, there is a verse to encourage us. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. And Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. I could go on. But our passage that we just read begins with, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. And it's fair to say that it's consistent with the rest of Scripture and that we're challenged not to worry. I want to say three quick things to sort of frame our discussion this morning before we then dive in a little bit deeper. We all have issues or problems or circumstances in our life that we worry about. I'm sure we can agree on that. Now, some of these are very serious and are definitely legitimate causes for concern. Today is not about diminishing the significance of these things, and nor is it to stop us seeking or praying for solutions to our troubles. But it is about realigning our perspective of them and perhaps our attitude towards some of them. Secondly, a certain level of worry or concern, maybe better described as motivation, is needed to help us get things done. And then thirdly, perhaps most importantly, Jesus wants to set us free from the weight of worry. This is something that he wants for all of us. I think there will be things that challenge us this morning, but the point I want us all to have in mind is that Jesus is encouraging us that we don't have to live under the burden and the sometimes very heavy burden of worry. Think about that. We don't have to worry. Now, one definition of worry I came across was this: to allow one's mind to dwell on actual or potential difficulties or troubles. And I wonder how much time we have spent worrying each day or week or month or even year of our life. It's probably quite a worrying amount. But one study I read suggested that people spend 1 hour and 50 minutes worrying a day. And apparently that adds up to about 5 years of the average lifespan. 5 years worrying of your life. And then when we do worry, what is it we're actually worrying about? Well, again, a study I found, 40% of what we worry about will never actually happen. 30% is in the past and has already happened. 12% is to do with health things that we don't need to worry about. 10% are described as petty miscellaneous worries, like did I lock the door or things like that. That leaves 8% that's worth concerning ourselves with. So only 8% of what we worry about is actually worth worrying about. And the other studies we looked at had similar kind of numbers. But then even this little bit that's left, Jesus says, do not worry. I think as with many things, you could think about worry as existing on some sort of spectrum. At one side, you've got those people who are consumed by worry constantly. And then at the other end, there's people who sail through life without a care in the world. Everything, it'll all be fine. It'll all work out in the end. And I guess probably subconsciously, we all know where it is on that spectrum that we are. Now, if those two people were to meet, I'm pretty sure they would infuriate each other. Because one would complain that the other was wasting time worrying over stuff that's completely pointless. And then the other would become so exasperated that this person doesn't seem to care about anything ever. But the reality is that there's an ideal somewhere in the middle. And they could learn a little bit from each other. Of course, much more from our Lord Jesus. Now, when I teach gymnastics at school, I'm a PE teacher, for those of you who don't know, I always take a lot of time to go over safety. In fact, it's been said that my lessons are very much done in drills and straight lines, and you will do this when you will do it. But that's the way I like to keep in control when it's gymnastics. But I need to go over the safety, especially as the kids start to go higher and faster through the air. And there's kind of three general responses that I see. If I'm, for example, getting them to jump from a trampette onto a mat, there's those that are paralyzed by the fear of even the thought of jumping onto this little trampette. And so their worry stops them even giving it a go. Then there's those who jump on and jump over the mat at the other end because they haven't listened to me saying, you need to jump up and not forwards. But then you've got those who, having taken on board my instructions, give it a go and land safely. Maybe not perfectly, but at least they're on the mat. Or maybe even a dream example. I don't teach this. Rock climbing. A lot of us would probably be too scared to go up a vertical rock face. But if you're not scared enough and you don't take a rope with you, you're not going to get to the top either. So Jesus is not telling us, don't think about things or don't take appropriate measures. It's like the person who says, I don't need to study for my exams because God will give me all the answers. Now, he might, but more than likely, he's going to give you the answers through your teacher that you've been working with all year. And through the brain that he's asking you to engage in the process of studying. And so dealing with worry also takes hard work. Now, as I said, we will all have worries. And some people here this morning will have really heavy weights of worry on their mind. It might be nerves. It could be uncertainty about the future. It could be finances to do with health, relationship, employment. I could go on. But if we shouldn't worry, what on earth is it we're meant to do with all these things that fill our minds for so much 5 years of our life? Well, Psalm 139:23, David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David's asking God to look deep down into his heart and to examine him, to point out anywhere in his life that he needs to sort out. And that includes his worries. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it a whole lot easier to pray that sort of prayer for somebody else than I do for myself. See all the things that you worry about? You shouldn't be worrying about that. Not at all. And you want to know about my worries? Well, mine are fine. They're important. You know, I've got a lot going on at work. You know, I'm worrying about this unwell family member and someone's got to balance the books at the end of the month. And I think we kid ourselves on that what we worry about is actually all right. But just before the passage that we read, Jesus says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He knows that we're going to worry about money, among all these other things. And he says quite clearly that we should not let worry about money or about anything else get in the way of serving God. Basically, if we concern ourselves so much with worry, it undermines our ability to effectively serve God. I want to look at three kind of main headings. The futility of worry, our Heavenly Father who knows us, and in the blessings of seeking the kingdom. So the futility of worry. The first few verses, in fact, the whole thing can be summed up quite easily in the phrase of worrying is pointless. Now that seems quite harsh, but that is the Lord speaking. He says, do not worry about your life. And it's a direct command to us. And in fact, if we've read that and then we do go on to worry, we're disobeying what Jesus has told us directly not to do. And the other thing in these verses is that he doesn't qualify his statements and say, well, you know, it's okay to worry in this situation, or you've got it pretty bad, so you're okay with worrying. And we'll work things out as we go through, but we don't get a wee escape route where we do get to worry. Think about this that Paul says to the Galatians. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And there's a problem that we all suffer from, and I think it's this. It's a lack of imagination sometimes. Either we don't actually believe that God can help us, or we do believe it, but we let the situation control us so much that we don't actually get to thinking that God might have a solution and that, hey, it might just be bigger than what we can imagine. I've lost count of the number of times, and I'm sure many of you could be the same, that God has answered prayers or even brought about change that I haven't prayed about in ways that I could never have imagined. If some of the ideas had even entered my head, I would have dismissed them as impossible. But we love and serve and are loved by a God for whom nothing is impossible. Now, Adidas, you'll probably remember, ran a campaign with the slogan, "Impossible is nothing." Now, of course, the main reason was to get us all to buy their gear. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us fell for it. But the idea is we should always be sort of pushing the boundaries. We can all improve. We can all overcome challenges. It was going beyond the limits of what you thought was possible for you. And sometimes we need to do that for God. We need to stop limiting God with our minds. I use a quote with lots of youngsters in school, and it's this: don't limit your challenges, challenge your limits. And it's not a bad phrase to try and live by. But the problem is we put limits on God that he doesn't actually have. Maybe it should be, don't limit your God, God your limits. We need to see them as he sees them. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Jesus challenges us to think about what could worrying actually achieve. We can't even add a single hour to our span of our lives. And worry and anxiety are much more likely to take away hours from our life. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, it's not good for us. And rather than being content, we can be discontent. Or rather than living in faith, we live in fear. And it weighs us down. And it can affect all manner of things, from the immune system, can cause panic attacks, migraines, affects our blood pressure, even stops us sleeping. And these are just some of the possible side effects. But Jesus is saying to us here, remember that you are worth infinitely more than all the things that we see around us. When we look back to Genesis, we see it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So we're created in God's image, and he calls us very good. We are like the pinnacle of God's creation. Jesus looks at the birds and says, they don't need to worry about growing crops or harvesting or whatever it is. God's made so much available for them, and we are worth so much more than them. Two, our Heavenly Father who knows us. God made us, as we've just read, and he knows us. Think of that children's song, Our God is a Great Big God. It's got a great couple of lines in it. He's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. If we go to verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows everything that we need. He knows our hearts, and he also knows what we want. But there is a difference. And Jesus is talking here about what we need. Our basic needs. We need food, we need water, we need shelter, we need clothing. And God is saying, I know all that. You need to trust me. I will look after you. And Jesus has been building up to this with these examples. We need to trust God with all of our basic needs. And these flowers in the field that Jesus talks about, they weren't the most stunning flowers around. Nobody planted them. He wasn't talking about the Botanic Gardens in Glasgow. He was talking about stuff that just grew. And yet the most majestic king described in the Old Testament, Solomon, wasn't even a patch on these flowers. 2 Chronicles 1:7, God says this to Solomon, I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. And Jesus' audience would have been familiar with the splendor of Solomon, all right. And here Jesus is saying, not even Solomon's splendor matched the beauty of the fields. I wonder if we have become too concerned with all that the world is concerned with. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. But too often I think we want to be in the world and of the world. We don't want to be left out or, worse, to stand out. But here's a challenge for us all this morning. How much of what we worry about is to do with our basic needs and how much is about other things? Are we worrying about putting food on the table and a roof over our heads? Or are we worrying about fancy cars, big holidays, luxury items, and so on and so on? Now, these are not bad things to have or to want. But Jesus says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I wonder how many of our worries would just disappear if we focused our minds more on heavenly things rather than on earthly things. Take a moment to thank God for all that he has given you. And then rather than that common thing we do, ask for more, ask God to show you, how is it I can use what you've given me to serve you, God? See, he's saying that he will take responsibility for all of our basic needs. And the question is this, do we trust him? Do we trust God to meet all of our basic needs? Do we really believe that he's capable of supplying everything that we could ever need? And if the answer is yes, then we need to stop worrying about these things. And then we can get to a part where we start to enjoy the blessings that come from seeking the kingdom of God. Worrying is a choice, to worry or not to worry. That is the question. I think we know fairly well now that the Bible tells us we shouldn't worry, but I know you'll all be sitting there thinking, that's fine saying it, but it's a whole lot harder to live that out. And I know, I'm totally there with you. But that's exactly why Jesus says it. He doesn't at any point say, if you are a worrier, or those of you who worry, listen up now. He's speaking to every single one of us because he knows that we all worry. He knows us individually. He knows us intimately. He knows everything that we need. And he knows that you have to not worry. But to not worry takes a whole lot of hard work and a whole lot of dedication. For example, if you have to forgive somebody who seriously hurt you, that doesn't come naturally. We have to forgive them again and again and again, day after day after day. Jesus says, love your enemies. That's not easy. We have to make a choice to act in a kind and a loving manner day after day after day. And then over a lifetime of doing these things begins to become a habit. Things like forgiveness, love, and patience become habits of our lifestyle. And it's the same with avoiding worry. But it's not going to happen overnight. And it won't happen without a great deal of hard work. Peter says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I'll read the full, or kind of Philippians 4, 6 and 7 that I touched on earlier. Don't be anxious about some things. No, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We have to consciously and willingly give our worries and fears over to God. It might take you a month, a year, it might take the rest of your life, but we have to give them over to God. And look at this benefit that is promised here. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the world could tell you that if you stop worrying, you'll get inner peace, or you'll be at peace with nature, or whatever, even all the health benefits, which are good. But this is so much more than that. This is God peace. Paul says it transcends all understanding. It's so peaceful we can't even understand it. But know this, it is attainable. And the way is by trusting Jesus Christ with every single aspect of our lives. Now, you might this morning already have trusted Jesus with saving you for eternity, with living in God's kingdom and God's glory forever. And what an awesome thing to look forward to when Jesus returns or calls us home. But he also wants to work with us in the here and the now. James says that faith without deeds is dead. And one of our deeds, I think, our actions of faith, must be to hand over our worries to God. We have to pray about it every day, though. Some people might find it easier to write things down, shred them, burn them, whatever it is helpful to you, to sort of envisage them disappearing. It won't always be easy, but know that God is ready and willing to take them all for us. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the key to solving our problem of worry, I think. Seek first his kingdom. Before we think of anything else, we must think of the kingdom of God. When we face problems and worries, do we turn to God first, or is that a last resort? Jesus doesn't say, seek God and all these other things. But he says we must seek God before all of these other things. God is to be our first thought in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, let me be clear here. If we already believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then As was touched on earlier, we are clothed with Christ's righteousness already. That's sorted, and it's not something that we could achieve ourselves anyway. Jesus swapped our sin for his perfection so that we can stand before God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But the righteousness in this verse we are to strive for is found in seeking to become more like Jesus in character. One way to think about it could be to seek with all our energies to live out the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Deuteronomy 4 could comfort us. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. And there are other similar verses. We have to seek God for God himself and do it with every single aspect of our character. How is it we do that though? We need to pray to him every day. We need to read our Bible every day. Walk in the light every day. And this kind of righteousness, this purity, is what Jesus talks about at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." But if we seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, then all these things will be given to us as well. When we trust God to provide all our needs, requirements, he usually blesses us with a whole lot more. If we seek God for God himself, not only do we get God, but often, not always, but often we get all those material things that we used to worry about as well. We spoke about Solomon earlier on. He didn't ask for fame or wealth or success, but for wisdom, for discernment. And then God blessed him with all the fame and wealth and success on top of that. We don't seek God because of the good things that he'll give us, but we seek God because he is God. And he blesses us in ways we could never imagine. The final verse says this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It's like a wee PS from Jesus at the end. Just in case the message hasn't got through to you already, don't worry about the future. There's enough to be getting on with today. A man named Leo Buscaglia said this, "Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy." How many of us worry about things that are way off into the future? I remember when I was at school and in university, you're always, even as a teacher to be fair, you're always looking ahead to the summer holidays. But the excitement was always kind of dampened a wee bit because before you get to the summer holidays, you have to go through exam period. And so it could be weeks or months in advance, but it was already a weight on my mind that I was worrying about. I should have been preparing and spending time doing that, yes, but not worrying. And there's maybe even more short-term things that I'm sure a lot of us can relate to. I've seen myself sitting at work at the start of the day, maybe got an hour or so before my first lesson, and then I'm teaching for the rest of the day. Now, if you're focused and if you put your mind to it, an hour's a good amount of time to get quite a lot of things done. But have you ever sat there and thought, "Oh no, an hour, that's not long enough. I've got this report to write, I've got to reply to that email, then I've got to plan my lessons," which I never do last minute, by the way. So instead of getting on with tasks one by one, I sit there in a panic. I can't do it. If I don't reply today to that, then this won't happen. And if I don't get that report to the head teacher, then I'll have to go and sit in his office and explain myself. And if I don't plan my lessons, then, well, they'll just be rubbish. And I sit there and freak out, and I don't know what to do first. What if I do that first, but then it takes longer than I think? Then I'll not get that done. And all the while, 60 minutes is now 45 minutes, and then I panic even more. But sometimes we need to plan rather than panic, don't we? And quite often we panic because we haven't planned and things start to stack up. We're told by Jesus not to worry, but not to avoid planning. Luke 14, 28, Jesus says this, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build a tower and was not able to finish. If any of you have been to Oban, you'll have seen McCaig's Tower, and it was based on the huge kind of amphitheatres in Rome. However, Mr. McCaig ran out of money and it was never finished. It's only two or three rows high. It was meant to have a roof and everything. Visitors to Oban, though, sometimes call this McCaig's Folly, but they're not welcome back. But the principle's the same. Careful planning is required, and it can be a great help in reducing our worry. Let me recap where we've been. We all worry in different ways, and some of us are consumed by it almost all the time. But God, who made us in his image, knows us, and he knows that we worry. His desire is to free us from the sometimes crippling weight of worry. And if this is you this morning, then Jesus is calling out and asking for you to hand your worry over to him. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And not only that, seek to know God more truly than ever before and desire to become more like Jesus every day. Jesus says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good God who knows us and who understands us. Lord, you understand when we worry. Forgive us, Lord, when it's out of lack of trust in you. But Lord, we help us, we pray, to trust fully in you and to hand the difficult things to you each day in our lives. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to live more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.